Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Christopher Justice, the CEO of Pavilion Payments, on why his company has the perfect solution for cashless transactions, both in land-based casinos and online gaming.
This podcast is sponsored by Pavilion Payments, which empowers gaming institutions to create an enhanced patron experience with a complete suite of integrated payment solutions that enable safe, secure, and trusted cash access at the cage, on the casino floor, or online. Learn more at pavilionpayments.com.
Pavilion Payments was recently rebranded, and Justice explains the complicated process of picking a new name for the same company that he believes has a solution for cashless transactions in the casino industry. Justice has a long career in payments, and he explains why Pavilion has achieved success in the industry and why he thinks the cashless revolution is ready to take hold in the gaming business. He spoke with me at the Pavilion Payments offices in Las Vegas in December.
Chris, great to see you again. We're just talking about how long it's been since we've known each other, and you've done such great things for the industry up until today. I mean, the changes that cashless transactions have brought to the industry has been great. You were one of the pioneers.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we started actually working on cashless when I got here in 2017.
Yeah,
and we had actually presented kind of a full-on cashless solution, which we have in the marketplace now called VIP Mobility, but that was actually G2E in 19.
Okay.
We were supposed to roll out our first location first quarter of 2020.
Okay.
And, of course, everybody knows how the rest of that story played out. We were days away from launching when the entirety of the industry shut down.
Yeah. So give us some of your background before you got into the industry here, and what led up to Global Cash at the time, right?
Global Payments Gaming Services. Right. But I've been, I actually started out my career in Comdata Gaming Services many years ago, prior to us selling that business off to, we were a Welsh Carson Anderson Stowe portfolio company, sold that business off to First Data, and ultimately that business continued to grow and evolve. But I really have stayed in the payments world for the last 25, 30 years, working primarily with some of the world's biggest organizations to develop the omni-channel shopping experience that we've all grown to enjoy, especially post-pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so when Global Payments recruited me to come in to join this organization, it was really around driving a tech-led payment strategy around orchestrating the hardware, software, and services necessary to drive a very efficient process. And as you know, looking at the gaming industry, while the rest of the world has rapidly iterated from a digital transformation perspective, gaming's still the biggest user of cash on the planet.
Sure.
Still a lot of things that are very disconnected, manual, not fully integrated. And so ultimately our goal and objective here was to bring a lot of the consumer-led experiences, but bring them into gaming in a way that is very easy to implement, easy to maintain, and orchestrates the best consumer experience.
Okay.
Because at least from our perspective, right, this isn't about getting the casino to buy more modules and more hardware and more widgets and more.
Right.
It's really around how do we leverage the infrastructure that exists to deliver an experience to a consumer that is far more consistent with how they spend their money everywhere else.
Sure, no question. Yeah. So you recently changed the name of the company to Pavilion Payments. Tell us why you did that, and what was the process in deciding what the name was?
Wow, that is a very it is a very big process to name an organization. So part of it is carving ourselves out of Global Payments, a Fortune 500 company. There was no part of the name that we could carry forward, already owned by the public parent. So we went through an elaborate process with branding organizations and trying to find names, URLs, social handles, and all of the other things that go into creating a company where you're going to get basically green lights across the board is a very difficult process.
Right.
So we went through thousands and thousands of names and ultimately decided on Pavilion Payments because it passed all of the things that we needed in order to make sure that we can hang out a shingle, we can do all of our marketing, we can trademark and brand and all the things that are necessary to make that come to fruition.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, it's a good name. It's, you can remember it, and it's not like a slot company that I won't mention. Where did you come up with that one? But it makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, of course, there's a whole marketing discussion in and around, because Pavilion is a place for purposeful meetings, mm-hmm. and where you can bring effectively all payments under a single roof.
Sure.
And so there's a lot of interesting branding things that really tie together with it. But ultimately, we do feel that we are bringing a consumer experience along with operating efficiencies to the casino operators,
sure.
to deliver a full 360 degree view, mm-hmm. of the customer and the experience,
right.
and have something where we can purposefully deliver real value to our customers.
Okay, great. So when we first started talking, as I said, 5 or 6 years ago, there weren't that many companies. There were you and a couple of other companies that were in this field. Now there seems like there's 100. When we go to some of the trade shows, you see so many payment processors there, and how do you think this is going to play out? Or is this going to be an issue where there's a lot of consolidation, or they'll just move on to something else? Or what do you think is going to happen here?
I think it's an interesting question, and I think a lot of folks have tried to jump in with the explosion of sports betting.
Right.
Oh my gosh! Well, everybody needs to be in sports betting. And yet, I think what people will find is, just like gaming, it's very gaming in general is very different than just payments in general.
Right.
So you've got a lot of organizations that focus on restaurant, retail, hotel payments, and
sure.
it's a fairly, I wouldn't say it's an easy business. It's got its own set of complexity, but yet what we do in gaming is a very different set of transaction types and rules and regs than what folks experience outside of gaming.
Right.
And everything seems really, really easy until you're in the middle of it. And I think certainly through your career, you've seen a lot of PowerPoint presentations that come along and go, wow, this is going to be the next big thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And yet most of them never get off the PowerPoint and actually are proven into the marketplace.
Right.
And that's been one of the hallmarks that we've tried to do since I joined, was make sure that everything that we do is in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
It's delivering the results that we expect. So what you see is what you get.
Sure.
And we're trying to provide a lot of certainty to our operating partners.
Okay, great. So you have partnered with a few of these other payment services. And is there synergies with those partnerships? Or are there things that you bring to the table that bring something else to the table?
Oh, 100%. Like as far as like things, for example, with VIP Mobility, we've
right.
partnered with CPI and JCM
right.
to be able to deliver electronic vouchers down to the game.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason that we partner is we don't want to be all things to all people. We're not trying to boil the ocean, and there are a lot of very good, very high quality organizations in this marketplace who deliver excellence in the things they do. So. Our approach is we are going to stick to our knitting and deliver the things that we do very well, and we're going to partner with the best of breed organizations within the industry to do what they do well. And we believe that, right, if we're bringing all of these best in class providers together to deliver a cohesive solution, that we will be able to do what we've been doing, which is delivering high quality excellence, not only in terms of the guest experience, but the operating results for the casino.
Okay. So how does Pavilion Payments kind of get into the online sports betting industry and kind of make it seamless for those industries to come to the land-based casino industry?
Yeah, great question. So we've been in the online space since before PASPA was repealed.
Right.
And our pedigree just as a payments company is just in and around orchestrating payments.
Right.
So whether it's the physical brick-and-mortar side of the business or the digital sports betting, iCasino, iLottery side of the business, it's just a core pedigree of what we do. Where we find our differentiation is the very unusual crossroads, if you will, of very complex, highly regulated gaming rules to the very regulated, highly complex payment rules. And so we've got the the people, the experience, if you will, coupled with the technology to be able to bring both of those worlds together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How are the players responding? You know, it seems you launched with Resorts World over a year ago.
Cyclone.
Okay.
Viejas and,
right,
and
right.
Downstream were the two that we launched.
Okay, great. So how are players responding to that?
Players have responded very, very well. And I think it's because the Apple, we spent a lot of time with Apple and Google user experience folks to really understand how to make it, put an app together that works for the guest. So
right.
Whether it's my 26-year-old daughter or it's my 80-year-old mother,
mm-hmm.
you've got to be able to deploy an application that somebody can pick up and use without feeling like, wow, how do I train the customer? How do I train the staff? I mean, the gyrations that, you know, a lot of things in the casino space have tended to do, we looked and said, that's a non-starter. I need you to be able to download an app and know what to do with it the second that you get it. I need to make that whole process easy. So that's really the area that we started trying to pioneer as we wanted to launch these applications.
Okay. And wherever there is this cash, there seems to be a reluctance, almost like the beginning of Ticket In, Ticket Out, when there was a reluctance from the players to really embrace that. And there seems to be that reluctance with the cashless transactions as well. Do you see that breaking down at any point?
You know, I think it's, I think the reluctance I see today is really more on the operator side of the business.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because they've experienced some of the other solutions that are just far more difficult to use.
Right.
And I would say it's an inconsistent consumer journey than what you would experience anywhere else in your
sure,
life.
Right.
And our user journey is far more efficient, far less complex. So therefore, the consumers have actually warmly embraced the solution. So the
right.
number of folks that download our app that become what we would call folks that have adopted, who have used the
right.
application multiple times, is very, very high.
Mm-hmm.
The number of big customers within the database, and I think this is probably the biggest surprise, those are the customers that have more warmly embraced it. And I look at that as probably a little bit around my own personal experience, that as my income has increased, my patience level and my tolerance have
mm-hmm.
gone almost to zero.
Right.
I want what I want, when I want it, how I
sure.
want it. And by giving control over to the guest to be able to spend their money where they want, how they want, in a very quick and easy way, has been warmly adopted, especially by those folks that are more significant to the casino.
Right.
Secondarily, there's a significant safety improvement, so that folks that, and I would say this, I would target this more at females, but I'm sure, you know, men have the same issue. You win a big jackpot, you've got a lot of money, right? And there's a lot of pomp and circumstance
sure.
that goes
right.
around. Here's your payout,
yeah.
right? I want
mm-hmm.
you to feel important. The problem is everybody sitting around you
that's
also
right.
knows you are very important.
Right.
And the ability to put that into a mobile phone where you're not carrying cash around, you're not coming in or going out of the casino with
right.
money in your pocket because you can push a button and gain access to it, delivers a lot of safety and security for folks to just feel far more comfortable in participating.
Sure. Well, it's funny you should mention that, because just over the weekend, I'm on a Facebook group for slot players, and somebody asked a rhetorical question: what happens if I win a jackpot and I have to carry $15,000 out the door, you know? And I responded, you don't have to do that. Just set up your wallet, and put it in there, and you know, you just carry a little card out the door. That's it. You know, and this person didn't know that. I don't know if it was a man or a woman, but this is the kind of message, you know, you need to continue to get out, I would imagine.
Well, it just makes all the sense in the world.
Right.
In fact, one of the top players in one of our casino locations was not even somebody that was technically on their target list of people they were wanting to groom and cultivate into the experience, but it was a lady who tried it, and as they went and interviewed, so why are you here, right? You've gone from being a, you know, effectively mid-level player to number one player in the casino.
Right.
What was the turning point? It's, I feel more secure.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's a great testament to what technology can do to improve the overall P&L value for a casino operation.
Sure, sure. Well, early on, not only was there the reluctance from the players, but there was a reluctance from the regulators. And I know you spent a lot of time educating the regulators, and they seem to be more accepting of it now. Is that the case?
It is in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
One of the things that we've been actually kicking around a little bit is we started calling our application cashless. Everybody adopted the cashless vernacular, and yet effectively ours is leveraging the Tito system. So the rules and the regs are already built for ticketing. So everything that we're doing really works within the confines of existing regulations. But because we've added cashless to the conversation, now I need to go through and really pay attention and make sure my rules and regs, support cashless.
Right.
And I think all cashless applications are being thrown in one big bucket. And
sure,
some of them are, I think, are ours, especially based on Tito and the fact that the rules and the regs already support what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. And some of them are a little bit more complex, especially if you're looking at it from a regulator perspective. So how do you make cashless regs broad enough to allow effectively competition in the marketplace,
right,
all the while protecting the industry, game integrity, responsible
right,
gaming, and all the other components?
Sure. Sure.
So it's probably a little bit of a mixed bag of tricks at the minute in terms of regulators that are forward leaning,
right,
and other regulators who want to say, wait a minute, I need to look at all of these things before I move forward on any.
Sure, and I imagine it's also frustrating. The regulatory community is so, the turnover is so massive every year. Some a new governor comes in and he appoints all new regulators who probably know nothing about the industry. It's a political appointment. I mean, so you have to continue to re-educate these people, I would imagine.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. But a lot of really smart people that
sure,
are warmly embracing it,
mm-hmm,
and a lot who would sit down and say, wow, I'm really surprised that this kind of thing hasn't been in this industry long before now, because
yeah,
it reduces the AML footprint of organizations, helps to reduce suspicious activity. It really helps to improve the overall compliance for a variety of things
right,
within the casino space.
Right.
And frankly, let's face it, the other part of it is what's responsible gaming.
Right.
That there are tools and capabilities that we can deliver to you electronically to help you establish the guardrails that you may want or need.
Sure.
That can't be done in a cash-like environment.
Right, right, right. So tell us about the sign-up process and how that works. The VIP mobility is part of this, correct?
It is. So VIP mobility is the infrastructure that we launched. So
right,
it's an app that you can download from the App Store, and then effectively it enables a complete turnkey self-service capability for you to touch a button, move money, and be able to then actively participate at your favorite game. So whether it's slots or tables.
Right.
So that was the infrastructure that we rolled out originally.
Mm-hmm.
It's all based on the Tito ticketing system. So
right,
everything is tracked and audited down to, every interaction everywhere is tracked and audited. What we launched at G2E was the ability to use your favorite mobile application that you would make payments at Whole Foods or someplace else.
Sure.
Be able to open up your phone, scan a code, fund your game with whatever amount of money it is without any kind of an application. So ultimately trying to make sure that the transaction that you do in the casino space is very similar to what you would do outside of the casino space.
Sure.
So again, kind of back to our kind of pedigree though, it's giving you the consumer what you want. So the ability for you to establish your responsible gaming parameters, it's the ability for you to fund up using things that look easy.
Right.
All the while, it's still accessing our infrastructure on the back end for VIP mobility.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to make it easy for the guest, keeping everything consistent and standard for the operator, and then VIP mobility handles all of the complexity in the middle.
Sure.
To take everybody else's change management kind of out of the picture.
So can a participating casino brand their slot club card along with VIP mobility? Can they they get their slot club card and use that to transfer the money?
Oh yeah, every part of it is branded to the casino. So when you download the application, right, we don't know where your home is.
Right.
So it's a VIP mobility app. But when you walk into a Viejas, for example, the app turns red. It's the Viejas logo, and that is now your home property.
Okay.
But it dynamically rebrands wherever you are.
Okay. Do you find the tribal gaming market to be a little more accepting of this at this point?
So far, we've actually had quite a few commercial operators, that are leaning into the process.
Right.
But that also gets into then commercial regulatory, and
we're
also a company that for the entirety of our life cycle have never been fined or sanctioned by any regulatory body ever. So we are far more on the aspect of asking permission versus favors or forgiveness. So we spend a lot of time up front making sure jurisdiction by jurisdiction that what we're doing falls within the set parameters of those jurisdictions before we install.
So the big fear, I think, of the regulators is that nobody wants to be able to use a credit card to play at a slot machine. How do you address that, those kind of issues?
So everything that we do is customized based on the rules and the regs of the jurisdiction,
right,
as well as the rules and the regs of individual operators.
Sure.
So in areas where credit cards are used, we're not funding up the games directly with credit cards.
Right.
So the same transaction that you can do physically, like going to the kiosk and performing a transaction to acquire a ticket,
mm-hmm,
that is the same process that we're doing, that it's just happening to be done on your mobile phone.
Okay.
So still compliant with all of those same rules and regs, even though, right, we've tried to make sure that we are bifurcating the process so the consumer doesn't see all of that sausage being made.
Right.
To them, it looks like an easier transaction, but in the background, we're still doing all the same stuff.
Okay, great. So you authored a piece in our September series on Responsible Gaming Education Month, and
mm-hmm,
it was very, very much on point in how cashless transactions can identify problem gamblers, and they can actually set the parameters. How successful has that been in terms of the operators knowing that they want to do something like that?
I think all operators really want to embrace delivering the right set of guardrails for their guests.
Right.
And I think a lot of us are aligned. It's hard to, responsible gaming is a hard, it's a hard topic. But I think for the majority of us, I think we do look at it of, how do I provide the right tools and capabilities to the right folks at the right time?
Mm-hmm.
Because look at all addiction has its problems, right, in terms of it being a sickness. And when you start to think about drug addiction, alcoholism, right, there are a lot of penalties and roadblocks that the government and social and everything that we've put in place, right, to keep people from drinking and driving and what have you. And yet for the people that are truly addicted, they push past all of that and they're going to participate. And yet in gaming, our typical approach to responsible gaming is paint everybody with the same brush of friction.
Right.
And yet at the end of the day, if you tell me $1,000 a day is the limit, well, okay, maybe you and I can afford the $1,000 a day. That would bankrupt a lot of people. So it's an artificial barrier that isn't necessarily helping everybody.
Sure.
And for the person that's in trouble, can easily push past.
Mm-hmm.
So electronic capabilities to really help those folks establish their own guidelines, to their own parameters, or even to be able to identify when somebody seems to be ahead of themselves are I think important capabilities that we should embrace.
Sure. Okay. So what kind of hurdles do you have when you're talking to a casino about becoming a client of yours? So what are their concerns, and what can you say that kind of alleviates their fears?
I think a lot of the challenges that we face are the fact that I think the conversations that we have are very differentiated in terms of our approach and how we have integrated all of our systems together in a very elegant way.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much like, I think, in the early days of an Amazon, like, really? How can this company do all of these kinds of things. Right. And that yet you look at it, you can order dog food at 10 o'clock and an Uber driver is delivering it to your house from Amazon at noon.
Right.
It's amazing how the technology works. And yet I think our technology is so differentiated. I think a lot of folks would look at it and go, wow, this can't be true.
Sure.
Until they go to one of our properties and actually see it all works exactly the way we talk about.
So is your goal to have every gaming transaction cashless?
I don't know if every is the appropriate way to look at it.
Yeah.
I look at it in terms of we need to meet you where you are. And so I've told this story a lot, but my grandfather, until the day he passed, went to the post office every day because he liked talking to the guys in the post office,
right?
Telling war stories and all that stuff. Not that they weren't delivering the mail to his house,
right.
But that was just his thing. And when I look at a casino, right, especially locals casinos, these people live in your neighborhood,
right?
They go to school, their kids go to school with your kids, they go to church with you on Sundays, whatever the case may be. There are some number of people that want to see those employees and have those relationships day in and day out, while others don't want to do that because I might want to see you socially. I don't want to see you during my gaming visit or whatever the case may be. So if we can meet the guest where they are, so if somebody wants self-service, if somebody wants automation, if somebody wants something, if we can deliver those tools and capabilities where they are, then they're more likely to feel comfortable. And as they feel more comfortable, they will provide a greater degree of loyalty and frequency to the casino. And so I don't think there'll never be a time when it's always going to be all electronic 100% of the time. But when you start to look at even holiday purchases this year, I mean, last year, 60-some-odd% of all holiday purchases were done on a mobile phone. Mm-hmm. That number is going to be a lot bigger this year.
Yeah.
It just stands to reason that there are a whole bunch of people that are going to want to sit down at their favorite game and push a button on their phone and make this whole thing happen.
Okay. So one more question, though. When Tito, the Ticket In, Ticket Out was established. It took 4 or 5 years for it to really, really get a groundhold. And I think we're seeing something like that with cashless transactions. Where are we in that spectrum there? Do we like just starting 10%? Maybe that much more to go? Or where do you think we are?
I agree with you. I think it's very much going to follow a similar curve. I think we are just, I think, at the end of what I would call kind of the early adopter phase, right?
Okay.
The pioneers are proving it out. They're showing that the capability exists. They're showing the fact that consumers will adopt and embrace. And I think we're not too far from that fast follower phase where there are a whole bunch of people that are in the lab right now and that are in that installation process,
right.
And we will start seeing this take off more and more and more.
Okay. I think you can almost correlate it with the ESPN bet that just opened a couple of weeks ago, and that's shown a tremendous growth because it's easy to sign up for. Something's a product you know. I think you're right. I think probably, you know, we're just at the beginning of that stage.
You bet. And another one of our customers, ESPN
bet.
So it's yeah, and it's all around really creating a compelling guest experience, because if we can meet the guests where they are and do the kinds of things that they want to make this more efficient, they're going to spend more of their gaming wallet at those locations than they will for the folks that are still kind of stuck in the past.
Okay. Well, Chris, I'm very excited that our editorial advisory board decided to include you in our 25 people to watch this year. I've been following your career and your efforts here in the industry, and I really think it's groundbreaking, and I think we're going to see it come to fruition in the next year or two.
Well, I really appreciate it, and thanks again for the nomination. It's very, very flattering.
Great. Well, we'll stay in touch, and when we do hit that inflection point, we'll talk again.
100%. Let's do it.
Great. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast, sponsored by Pavilion Payments. Learn more about the full suite of gaming solutions available at pavilionpayments.com. To learn more about the topic we just discussed, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.